Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, I'm Ruth. It's great to be here with you. Today is episode 57 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it is Wednesday the 11th of March, and today we're hearing from Suraj. He's from Nepal, and he started a ministry called Subbies at the University of Tasmania, or UTAS, and I found his conversion story really, really cool, actually, how he came to Christ, even though his local pastor turned him away. So listen in to hear how that happened. It's a beautiful day today. It's another glorious Wednesday, and last Wednesday was also a glorious Wednesday, I found looking back in my notes. But there was so much rain on Thursday that it leaked into my bedroom and we had to pull the carpet up and put fans on it for a couple of days and dry it all out, which is a shame. So, yes, anyway, that was part of my weekend, trying to dry out my bedroom floor. Another part of my weekend was that my mum was staying over and also Jess came down and visited and we had a lovely time together. It was just, there were some really gorgeous family moments on the weekend, including going up to Moz's parents' place for lunch on Sunday and having one of those mad family lunches. Nearly everyone was there on Sunday. We were missing a few beautiful family members, but yeah, it was great. It's just great to spend time together. And also on Sunday, as well as church and lunch, the Alpha course that I'm part of at St. Luke's in Taroona started. So if you are in the south of Tasmania and you wish to come to an Alpha course, 5 p.m. at St. Luke's in Taroona, we got dinner, which was really nice because we didn't have to make dinner. You're very, very welcome to come. Even though we started the first couple of weeks, you can just join in. It's all good. It's not too late. Come along and join us. So anyway, as you can imagine, if you know me at all, I took Monday off and just rested once everyone had gone home and yeah, just chilled out. It was a lovely day. It was a public holiday, so I don't feel in any way guilty about it. I don't think I would have anyway after such a, for me, big weekend. But it was glorious. Yes, you might hear that I'm still sounding a little bit tired. Which brings me to, of course, the thing that's on the top of everyone's mind at the moment, the coronavirus. And I thought I'd put my 2 cents in. Well, actually, not, they're not my 2 cents in. It's my friend, Dr. Emily, who has put some advice up on Facebook. And I thought I'll just share it with you, just in case you haven't read or heard or dealt with any of this. But I mean, it's all good advice, really, anyway, especially as we're heading into winter down here in the south. But yeah, here we go. Ready? Reduce your exposure to public outings and big social gatherings and work from home if you can. Hooray, I can. Wash hands before and after touching any surfaces. So that's good advice anyway. And I think we're probably all washing our hands off, singing happy birthday twice and doing all the bit. Cough or sneeze into your elbow. It's always a good idea to use the inside of your elbow to catch a cough or a sneeze. Even a dad sneeze. keep the toilet seat lid closed when flushing. Hadn't heard that one before, but good idea. Reduce your handshakes in social gatherings. And I know that in the church that I go to, we have been encouraged not to shake hands at all. It's a new thing. You can tap feet or tap elbows or do something if you must. Plan ahead for 2 weeks of self-isolation, but don't stockpile. But the idea is that you stay at home if you're feeling unwell. Even if you think you have coronavirus, stay at home. Don't go sit in a GP's waiting room and spread your illness with everybody else. Because for most of us, if we get the coronavirus, we'll feel a little bit unwell and then we'll be fine. So there's no point in going and using up a doctor's time if you're just going to get over it. It's a viral illness like every other viral one that they tell you you can't do anything about because it's viral. So stay at home. Stay at home for a couple of weeks. You might feel a little bit bad week one and then a little bit worse, apparently, week two, and then feel good again. So only go to the hospital if you are really unwell with breathing difficulties, etc. So I think if we all look after our own health and try our hardest not to share any viruses or whatever that we have with others, we can stop the spread of this thing. So that's my two cents. Only the other thing that I really wanted to say was, you know, the people who are hardest hit by this are the people who are already isolated or who are elderly, who are already struggling. So now is a really good time for us as Christians to look out for those people in our community and help them out. Make them a meal. Go and do some grocery shopping for your elderly neighbour. Maybe even think about the fact that they may not be able to afford to get 2 weeks worth of stuff and or stockpile or anything, and help them out. I mean, let's be Christ's hand and feet to these people who might need our help. So there you go. There's my coronavirus two cents. Now let's listen to Suraj talk about his life in Nepal, how he came to Christ, and why he's living here in Tasmania and sharing Christ here. And I'll chat to you after. Today's guest is Suraj, and I met Suraj at the Bishop's Training Event, which you have heard about before because I meet really great people at the Bishop's Training Event. So this is a 2019 one, and Suraj got up on stage very bravely and talked about his ministry at the university, and I was really impressed, and so I chased around afterwards and found him at his stall and said, "Can you come on my podcast?" And he said yes. So you're very welcome, Suraj.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Excellent. Firstly, where do you come from? Because your accent is not Caucasian Australian like mine.
I'm originally from Nepal. So it's been 4 years, nearly 4 years since I came to Australia.
Wow, yeah. Cool. Your English is impeccable.
Thank you.
Okay, so we usually start by asking how you became a Christian.
I became a Christian at the age of 10. I was born into a Hindu family. My dad, my brother, and my mom, they were not Christian. They were Hindus. There used to be a church next door in my hometown in Nepal. So every Saturday, I used to see little children go to church, have fun, dance, play games, do activities and craft, stuff like that. And I wanted to go and see and, you know, be a part of that little group. And Saturdays are public holiday in Nepal, not Sunday. So every Saturday morning, I used to see these children having fun. And I went to the church. And the pastor of the church, or the leader of the church, was quite reluctant to invite me to the church because he was intimidated by my dad. Because my dad is a very loud Hindu extremist. He can be quite antagonistic towards Christians. But yeah, he wasn't super interested. He just said, "If you come to Sabisura, if you come to church, your dad would come and he will mess up." So,
and that, I mean, that is a risk, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a risk. And I was just 10 years old.
Yes.
Yeah. And anyway, I went behind the church to see through the, you know, window and what's going on inside the church. Yeah, and I every Saturday morning I used to go behind the church and see through the... But yeah, in Nepal, church is like a little shed. A couple of windows, yeah. Yeah, and then after... Yeah, I did that for a couple of months, and seeing my, you know, having seen my passion to know about from the Bible or about the community or Christian community, the pastor said to me, you can come to church. I'll let you in, and I'll talk to your dad and let's see what happens. Anyway, after that, I went to the church. And every time I went to church, my dad would chuck my, you know, meal or lunch in the bin. Every time I went to church, that was like a punishment.
Wow.
So anyway, but that didn't stop me from going to church. Yeah, wow. That's how I became a Christian. And it was going well. And when I was 17 years old, and my dad said to me, "Hey, Suraj, I have noticed you have been, you know, going to church for long time. Today you have to make a decision, either stay home. If you want to stay home in my home, you'll have to stop going to church. Or if you keep going to church, then I'll kick you out of my house. So it was a big decision for me to make, you know.
Sure.
And I come from a collectivistic culture, and you know, where is, you know, family is very important, and you don't make decision by yourself. And you know, in my culture, leaving the house at the age of 17 is very, you know, abnormal. It's like never heard of. So I left home, and I started living with my sister and her husband, because my sister was married then to a pastor, and she had a little boy, and I lived with her family.
So she was obviously older than you, and she was a Christian.
Yeah, and my eldest sister, and she ever since I moved away from my house, and then she's my spiritual mentor, and you know, she taught me, coached me, mentored me, to help me grow in Christian faith. Yeah.
Wow. So I feel a bit sorry for your father.
That's not. But he's relenting now. He's softening. So this is really so good.
We keep praying for him.
Yeah, yeah.
You have time in your prayers. Pray
Thank
for
you.
Sinatra's family.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really huge decision to make at such a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. So what brought you to Tasmania?
Yeah, I came to Tasmania to marry my wife. Her name is Jemima. And she's from Tasmania. Oh, well, she was born in Western Australia, but she moved down to Tassie.
That's a better place.
Yeah.
where did you meet her?
In Nepal, in 2013, we met in Nepal. And we liked each other and decided to get engaged. And we got engaged in Nepal. And I wanted to come first and see the culture and the Western culture and our wedding. But anyway, I was gonna marry her anyway. But I just wanted to come and see the culture here. In 2016 I came to Tasmania.
Fantastic. What was Jemima doing in Nepal?
It's a long story, but she went to Nepal to help the little children. We have orphanages and children homes, and she went to Nepal to help the little children.
As a Christian outreach
thing. A Christian outreach.
Just a short-term thing. Yeah, watch it, people. Go on short-term missions. Your life might change. No, actually, I'm so in favor of everyone going on short-term missions in a sensible way, I'm not into volunteerism at all,
but it's
so important for us Westerners to go out and see that the world is different to how it is here.
It opens your eyes, actually. Yeah. It just, you get to see something different. Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So the school that my husband teaches at often does short-term missions to like Fiji or Vanuatu or places like that, and we say to the kids, oh, your holidays are going to be wrecked from here on in, because you can't just treat it like a hotel resort when you know what life is like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I just think it's very important.
Yeah.
Big in favor of that. Okay, so you're in Tasmania. What do you do as a job now?
I'm a teacher assistant at Springfield Gardens Primary School in West Moona.
Cool.
And I mainly work with the students whose English is second language. Yeah. It's called EAL, English as an Additional Language, with those children. Yeah, I work there.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, and you'd have some idea of where they're coming from and how hard it is.
Yeah, most of them are refugee or migrants and refugees.
Yeah.
And the little children don't have good English. So, yeah, I just help them. Learn English.
From Nepal, or are they just...
They're from, some from Nepal, India, and China, Korea, and from the South African countries as well.
Yeah.
Ethiopia.
So it's not like you know their first language at all, but you just help them to...
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. How does your faith show in that?
So I'm really good with the little children, and I just tell them a story about Nepal and a little bit about Christian faith as well. And I'm not allowed to do that. In school, you are not allowed to imports religious view.
Yes.
And so I should be very, I'm sensible towards that, but yeah.
But you can tell them about your story.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you also are working at the uni with the Subbies movement.
Subbies, yeah. Yeah. Subbies so, ministry.
And can you tell us a bit about that?
Subbies is an evangelistic ministry to reach out to the students from India, Nepal, Bangladesh, Pakistan and Sri Lanka from the subcontinent with the gospel of Jesus, good news of Jesus.
So what do you do?
We have food, fun, friends and faith and also festival. So we, that's our motto to bring them in to Subbies. And then, our main vision is to make them disciples of all nations. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And you talked at the Bishop's training event about cultural differences and about people, that whole white Jesus issue that we seem to have.
So we have students from the mainly from the Hindu backgrounds and Muslim and Buddhist background, and so we have to be very sensitive when we share the gospel, when we approach with the gospel. So you got to be very sensitive, and you don't want to be, I know, offensive towards their religious system or
Was it you who was saying that often people feel like if they become Christians that they have to completely change their culture and become, you know, like white people?
In Nepal in the subcontinent, Christianity is viewed, or Christianity is considered as a Western religion, and Jesus is like English speaking white Western God. That's how they view Christianity and Jesus.
Yeah.
So
it's not true, by the way.
It's not true. That's how they view. And then if you ask them, do you want to become a Christian? They hear, do you want to become a Westerner, or do you want to become a foreigner? That's what they hear. That's why at Subbies, the main thing we do is providing them the Bibles in their own language. That's how we, so that they get to hear about Jesus in their own language, in their heart language, and that dispels the myth, you know, that Jesus is merely white English speaking God.
So you would say it's absolutely vital to have the Bible in your
that makes a huge difference in their life as well.
And do you, in the Subbies, do you try and create a pocket of culture that's similar to the home culture?
Yeah, that's why we have festivals as well. We celebrate Nepali New Year or Tamil New Year, Bangladeshi New Year, Sri Lankan New Year, or we try to celebrate Diwali, that sort of thing, to just attract them to Subbies, and they come and they get to meet the person of Jesus.
Has it been a success? I guess success is like if one person came to the Lord, but what sort of response have you had?
We started this ministry, Subbies ministry, in 2017, and throughout the year 2017, we were able to read the Bible with more than 100 non-Christian students, and one person became a Christian. He accepted Jesus. That was in 2017, and in 2018 and 19, in 2 years, we were able to read the Bible around 300 non-Christian students, and 50 of those students are attending local churches, like not regularly, but on and off. And four of them are really, genuinely and deeply they are investigating Christianity or exploring Christian faith. So that's even though they haven't made a decision to follow Jesus yet, but actually that's a fraud.
Yeah, that's so exciting. That really is. That's fantastic. How many people are there in the Subbies ministry team?
We have a team of around 12 leaders, and most of them, except me, every one of them are volunteers. They help me with the ministry.
And they're all from the subcontinent as well?
No. Seven from from Tasmania, and we also have students, student leaders as well.
It's fantastic. It's so exciting to hear things like that going on, you know.
And most of the people don't know about it, and it's happening in our backyard.
That's right. This is why I want to get the word out. People need to know about this. So, yes, I think this interview won't go out until the beginning of next year. We're recording at the end of 2019, but we won't. Okay. It won't be on the list until beginning of 2020. Yeah. But that you'll be just heading into another year of Where do you get the Bibles from?
We ordered online from the from those countries. And we got them here.
Yeah, fantastic, cool. So yeah, I was wondering if it was a Bible Society thing or if it,
We have Bibles in 11 major subcontinental languages. Can I tell them?
Yes,
can I tell them
please, please.
Yeah. so yeah, Hindi, Tamil, Telugu, Punjabi, Malayalam, Gujarati, Kannada, Nepali, Urdu, Bengali, and Sinhalese. 11 major subcontinental languages. We have Bibles in those languages.
That's fantastic. And when I went and looked at them at the Bishop's Training events, some of them read from left to right.
Yeah, that's Urdu. Yeah.
But some, yeah, some from right to left. So Urdu is the one that reads
right to left.
Right to left, backwards.
Yeah.
Not backwards. Yeah. Right to left rather than left to right. It's a good thing. Cool. Okay. So is there anything else you wanted to share about?
Yeah, there are a few. At service, we, as I already mentioned, that we celebrate festivals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when we celebrated Diwali at service, that was the largest group we ever had. Ever since we started service, we had about 85 people come together, and that was the topic was Diwali, or Festival of Lights, and our message was Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that was that was a huge success. And you know, out of 85, 75 people were non-Christians. They had, most of them have never heard of Jesus before. That was really so good, just to see them, you know, hearing the gospel in their own language, in their heart language. That's absolutely amazing.
I guess that's the thing. It's like, yes, going overseas is a very good idea, but at the same time, God is bringing people
who've never
heard about Jesus to our backyard, and we can reach out to them.
And also, you know, service is one of the largest ministries in Australia who is reaching out to the subcontinental students. One of the largest, I should say. And then, and that's all because of God's mercy, you know, God's grace, we have been able to do this. And also, and our vision is to make them disciples of all nations. And that's how we can make, you know, disciples of Jesus. And there used to be a time people, missionaries from America or from the Western countries, you know, sent to those countries like subcontinent or Asia. But now these great nations are coming to Tasmania or Australia.
Yeah.
And I think we should be able, we should be ready to share the gospel with them, and they are the best missionaries we can send because they know the language, they know the culture, and they have passports, and there is no visa problem when they apply, and just they'll be good fit there, and the you know, the main thing, they know the culture and language, and
so they're not going back saying, hey, you need to become Western white Christian. Going back saying, Jesus is for all nations.
Absolutely.
So Subbies is not just at UTAS here, is at several universities around the nation?
No, actually it is just here in Tasmania. And often Tasmania is overlooked, but actually we have great ministry going on in Tasmania. Wow. And last semester we had an AFS staff from Victoria, I think, coming down to Tasmania to see our ministry before they started their ministry there. That was a big blessing.
So can I put details about you in the show notes if somebody wants to
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to extend my network and with the, you know, people, individual or churches around Tasmania, all over Australia.
Yes.
So yeah, you can. Thank you.
Fantastic. I will.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay. So when do you feel close to God?
In the morning, every morning I pray about 45 minutes, something like that. So that time is so special for me. Just sometimes you don't have prayer matters to pray for. Oh, there are so many prayer matters, but just sitting there in His presence, and yeah, mm-hmm. I feel so close to God that time. And also when I read the Bible, sometimes there are verses in the Bible you often read it, but you don't feel close. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I had never thought about that before. That's quite interesting. Yeah,
it's like God speaking directly to you from what you've read.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And what's one thing about God or Christianity you wish everyone knew?
I was actually pondering, on this question. I think it depends on who you ask.
Mm.
If you ask anyone from the subcontinent, because there are so many gods in Hinduism, and multi-million gods are there, and if you ask them, so they think, as I already mentioned, that they think Christianity is a Western religion. And I wish people from the subcontinent knew that Jesus is the only way.
Mm.
But in Australian context, I wish people knew that God never gives up on people. Yeah. He loves them the way they are.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So that in the first point there, one of the problems I think with Hinduism and Christianity is that people just tend to add God on
Jesus as one of the,
many, many gods.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you go about convincing people that He's different to all of that huge display of gods?
It's really tricky, and you got to be very careful about, mindful about what you say and how they are receiving Jesus. So if you ask them, oh, Jesus is God and Son of God, and they're like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I like Jesus. I like Jesus.
Hmm.
But actually, when it comes to absolute truth, Jesus is the only way, and they're like, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite agree with this. Because we have already multi-million gods, and why do I need Jesus? And so that, yeah, I think the Holy Spirit will give you the spirit of discernment to know where they are at in their faith. So they're happy to accept Jesus, one of the gods, but so we have to tell them, actually, no, Jesus is the only way.
Yeah.
So it's, it can be quite confronting for them.
Yeah, I mean, even in terms of the different religions that you know, the Hinduism and then Islam and then whatever, there's so many different worldviews there that you're dealing with just amongst the people of the
continent. And yeah, it's not easy, but God is there to help us.
Yeah. And then I'm interested in your second point, because I think you've come over from Nepal, you've seen our culture, and this is what you feel like we're missing.
Yeah, and because there are so many questions people have everywhere. But the most question, the most common question here is, if God was there, then why is there suffering? That sort of question you get to hear. And yeah, actually, I don't have the answer, but I think people, I wish people knew that God's, the power of God's love.
Mm.
It sounds cliche when I say I wish people knew God's love, but actually, I wish they actually knew, the power of God's love. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing
that. That's all right. That's my pleasure. Yeah. Anything else you want to know?
I can't think of any more questions. Do you have any more that you wanted to share?
I think it would be about the ministry.
Yeah.
Centered, is that okay?
Yes, please.
Yeah, at Sabi's, because most of the students we have from the Hindu background, and we come from collectivistic culture, so I have never seen at Sabi's one students come to Sabi's. They always bring their friends. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So in bringing them to Sabi's, we do half of the work. Oh, we want to do 100%, but actually they bring their friends. And that's really, that shows that that shows that they have the ownership of Subbies, then they feel Subbies belongs to them, or they belong to Subbies. Then.
Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we could learn a lot from collectivist culture.
Yeah. That's when one of the things, when you ask them, if you ask them, do you want to become a Christian? The main thing is, I want to become a Christian. I like Jesus, but actually, what would my parents think about it if I, if they knew me going to church? That would be a big, big shame on the community, on the family.
Yeah.
And they don't want to make that kind of decision. It's very different, actually.
Yeah. Very different.
But here, when you are 18, you can do whatever you want. I mean, I'm 18. I'm old enough to make decision for myself. But in Nepal or in the subcontinent, my family first, or society, my community first. Yeah.
Yes, but over here, we're all incredibly lonely and isolated, and dying alone because we don't have that family and community that we need. So there are good things and bad things on both sides.
Yeah, yeah. And I like one of the good things. One of the things of individualistic culture, actually, you make get to make decision for yourself to follow Jesus, and that's very personal. That's that kind of relationship God wants from us.
Mm.
Not about forget about your mom and dad, because I left home.
You did. So there is that definitely has to happen.
And I also can encourage people, those who are in the same situation I was in, if they want to follow Jesus but they're not quite sure how, I think I can, because I have got that experience, I can encourage them.
Yeah.
I had to go through the same situation, but you can see how God has helped me.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been put in exactly the right place.
Yeah, I think so. Thank
was
you.
Was Subbies your idea?
Dr. Sam Goff and I, I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I do.
Sam wanted to start Subbies ministry, but he wasn't quite sure how, and he was just collecting information from people and trying to catch up with people with the ideas, and I got to know him, and we prayed together, we shared our vision together, and we started this,
fantastic. Right person at the right time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
That's all right. Thank you so much for having me.
I found it really interesting to hear Suraj's take on our culture. We give thanks for the good aspects, and hopefully we can learn from other cultures in places where we are failing. Next week, I am reading again from my book, My Year of Saying No, about the dreaded word should. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music, and remind you to subscribe and to share this podcast. Please, if you find it helpful, pass it on to someone else who might. And I will chat to you again next week.